If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
If being human isn't what gives me the duty to treat an animal properly, tell me what does.
We have this idea of what it's like to live out the American dream, and maybe that's not God's dream for humanity.
When I was out in L.A. and I was like kind of struggling for a bit, I went to church for a while, but there's a band there now, and you have to hold hands with people through the whole mass now. This is too much for me. I want the old way.
It's poison because it takes off the issue of whether Christianity is true or not. If it isn't true, I don't care if it works. Lots of stuff works.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
Less than a week ago, the story out of China from a train station in Kunming, 29 dead after the final count was made, 29 dead, 143 wounded. At first, the eyewitnesses there are definitely calling it a terrorist attack, but that word seems less and less present in the ongoing news coverage of these attacks in China. Why is that? And a connection that might be made to Islam doesn't appear to be made necessarily to Islam or to any other religion. What's going on there? Why the silence on terrorism and Islam in this particular story and, sad to say, in so many others that could have those as angles? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, March the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. George Conger of GetReligion.org will be with us for the first few minutes. A little bit later, Pastor Herb Miller joins us, first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to talk about, it's kind of a strange subject because most of the time we think about our pastors coming up through, they go to college, they go to the seminary, and then they get a call to a Lutheran parish in our case. How does a non-Lutheran pastor become a Lutheran pastor? Someone who's already served a church or gone to a seminary in another denomination, another confession of faith, says, I think I'd rather be a Lutheran one of these rather than, say, a Baptist or a Presbyterian one of these pastors. We'll answer that question with Herb Miller in a few minutes. Listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line will follow. That'll take us up to Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, that game that we like to play with our listeners as often as we can on Fridays, where we bring forward four sound bites from this week's broadcast of Issues Etc. We play them for you, and then you call, you email, you go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. It's also your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, notepad, and mouse pad. The voter with the best vote, when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, will get the LPR bundle package. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Or you can vote in advance for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, welcome back.
Hello, Todd.
This recent tragic story, 29 dead, 143 wounded, in a matter of minutes there in this train station in China, is... Are you saying when you write about this recently that the connection to Islam is largely being ignored?
Yes. It's being ignored from the Chinese government, who is very keen on not pressing the issue forward. They're very happy to talk about terrorism, but they talk about it in terms of separatists from China's northwestern province, Xinjiang, and the Uyghur people, who are predominantly Muslims, universally Muslims. Well, whereas the Western press doesn't want to call it terrorism. They're very reticent to use that word in their press accounts, and they will not call this Islamic terrorism. They'll just say, oh, and by the way, the people committing this attack are members of a Muslim minority in China. But all the evidence that we've got, including past terror attacks, shows this is part of a wider Islamic terror movement linked to Al-Qaeda and other militant groups, yet we just don't hear about it from the Western press.
So there are two different things going on here. From China's perspective, they want to portray this in political terms. That separatist is a political term there.
Yes. See, that went, on Saturday night, this past Saturday night, a group of five or six people entered the Kunming train station in southwestern China. This is not the region where the separatists live. And when they entered the station, dressed in black, they pulled out knives and began chopping at people. And the eyewitness accounts printed in the initial reports showed that the attackers aimed at the necks and the heads and the throats of their victims, trying to decapitate them, trying to slit their throats. They weren't just pulling out guns and firing. They weren't stabbing people. They were deliberately aiming for a certain part of the body. And these people killed 29 people and injured over almost 150. Now, the police shot four of the five dead, and one was apprehended. And the initial reports came out from the government, from the Chinese state press agency, reported the attack, denounced it as terrorism, using the word terrorism, and then they had witness statements who described it as terrorism, called the people terrorists. And then the Chinese government did a little shift. Rather than say who these people were, they said this is just like these two recent terrorists' attack, one in Peking and one out in western China. And those two things were committed by Islamic terrorists who were Uyghurs, member of that minority group. So that's the Chinese side of the coin. They're calling it political, but they don't want to use the word Islam, but they'll use the word terrorism. The immediate Western reports called it an attack. They wouldn't use the word terrorist, or if they did use the word terrorist, they would put it in quotes. In other words, doubting the Chinese state version that these people making the attacks were quote-unquote terrorists. And if they did say the word Islam, it was, and oh, by the way, these people come from a minority group who are Muslim. Nothing else to see. A terrible tragedy of ethnic hostilities, maybe, but nothing deeper than that. Well, if you just left it there, you're missing the whole story. Because what was going on here is a continuation of a campaign being waged by the Uyghurs, who are Muslims, who are their militants are linked to the Al-Qaeda movement, and they tried to kill their victims by decapitation, which if you've been following what's been happening in Egypt, and if you go back to think of the Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl, or any of the atrocities that happened in Iraq, in Libya, and Syria, according to Islamic tradition, the infidel is to be killed by being decapitated. So here you've got a group from a Muslim minority who has been linked to Al-Qaeda in the past, attacking their victims in the way that the jihadists are commanded to attack according to their understanding of Islamic law. And no follow-up is made. The newspapers report, oh, this is what they did, but they didn't basically put two and two together and say this is, you know, this could possibly be something. There was no work done. And it's just flabbergasting. To me, I'm flabbergasted that not only would people like CNN and the New York Times and the BBC and Reuters soft-pedal the word terrorism, they just won't examine the Islamic angle.
Why is that? I mean, you've watched this for a long time, not just this story, obviously, in the short term, but media coverage, and let's be honest here, since 9/11, media coverage kind of become increasingly kid-glovish with Islam, especially when it comes to Islamic violence.
If I knew the answer to that question, I guess I'd be president of the United States. But it goes back years and years and years. I remember Condoleezza Rice, shortly after 9/11, meeting with Islamic leaders in Washington and getting up and saying, "Islam, it's a religion of love." Well, no, it's not. It's a religion of submission to Allah. But for people in the government and in the media, they equate Islamic morality with Christian morality. Allah is the same person that Christians call God. It's the same God of the Muslims. He just has a different name. There's a whole mindset and methodology that espouses not only a shallow universalism, the same God with different names, but a failure to take Islam seriously. And that, remember we had all these controversies about what does jihad mean? And, people would, Muslim leaders in the United States is, oh, well, jihad merely means bettering yourself and becoming a good Muslim. Well, if you look at the vast majority of Islamic commentators from Islamic legal scholars for the past 800 years, 1,000 years, jihad is subjugation of the non-Muslim world by the Muslim world, that people either must be converted to the Islamic faith or destroyed. This is part of Islamic law. And I don't know whether you call it politically correct or cowardice or whatever it is, our press and our government just don't want to go there. They just don't want to talk about it, and so they sanitize it as, an attack by 9/11 hostage, the 9/11 hijackers. First they were misunderstood youths coming out of poverty. Well, when we learned a bit more, they're all very wealthy, very well educated, very well trained people from Saudi Arabia. You could keep going on and on in that, but there's a continuing failure of Western institutions to treat Islam seriously and listen to it according to its own values. We just all want to Christianize it and try to understand it in our own Western terms, and it just doesn't work.
Do you notice the same tendency you mentioned before, CNN, other American news outlets? Do you notice the same tendency in the European press?
The European press is much more divided. For instance, CNN will use the word terrorist when some nut job in Phoenix shoots up a crowd of people, and immediately it's a Christian terrorist. CNN is very, not very balanced in how they'll use the word. If it's from a politically protected or politically sensitive group of people, the word terrorist is hardly ever used. In the European press, it's much more partisan. So conservative newspapers will call Islamic or liberal, the Bader Meinhof gang, they'll call them terrorists without blinking an eye. Liberal German newspapers are very loath to call, the Bader Meinhof people terrorists. They're happy to call them freedom fighters. They're happy to call them people who are trying to revolutionaries. The European press is already politically polarized, and so the good guys are always freedom fighters and the bad guys are terrorists. And what we're seeing in the United States, especially in CNN and the New York Times and the Washington Post, is a move towards the European advocacy style of journalism, where bad guys are terrorists and good guys are freedom fighters or revolutionaries.
Now, would you say that there's a qualitative difference when it comes to Europe's awareness of,
yes,
of what's going on? Because Europe does tend to deal more directly, the various countries there do tend to deal more directly with Islamization, don't they?
Yes, they do. But you'll find the difference in the tabloids, for instance. The tabloid press is very quick to call a spade a spade. For instance, you had two converts to Islam, two Nigerians who were living in the U.K. who became Muslims. They murdered Lee Rigby, a British Army soldier in Woolwich, a suburb of London. The tabloids, the Daily Mail, the News of the World, were very quick to call this terrorism, to talk about the relationship between jihad and Islam, and it responded to a very, you know, and in England would be sort of a nationalist working class audience who were saying, you know, these people are trying to kill us English. If you look at The Guardian, if you look at the BBC, if you look at the media outlets that are more closely tied to the liberal establishment, they did not want to go into the motivations as to why a Muslim would seek to kill a British soldier. They talked about the man's deprived upbringing, his estrangement from his family. They wouldn't talk about the fact that he believed his religion called him to kill British soldiers whom he saw as crusaders. It's that stark in the British press. In other words, you get two different stories. If you read The Guardian and the Daily Mail on the same issue, especially when it comes to Islam, especially when it comes to terrorism.
Then with only about 30 seconds here, George, if you were going to write the lead for the story from last weekend out of China about the 29 dead, the 143 wounded, give us a rough idea of what you think it ought to say to get the real story.
Well, you'd start off, suspected terrorists kill 29 and wound 140 in an attack on train station. You know, four of the attackers killed, one captured. Police have not released motives. However, they are linked to a separatist group in the Muslim-majority province of Xinjiang. Prior attacks took place in Peking and Wuhan, and they have been tied to al-Qaeda by intelligence analysts, citing Chatham House, citing the Royal Defense Institute in London. In other words, I'm not making this stuff up. You know, if you read all the specialty literature, we all know where the Uyghurs are coming from. But then you say, you don't know, but it's suspected. And there's this group, this is what similar ones have done in the past, and look what's happened today. But you just don't ignore it.
George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Herb Miller, first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking to him about I don't know why it's called colloquy, because it just means conversation, but talking about how a non-Lutheran pastor, say a Baptist pastor, starts to look into Lutheran theology and says, you know what, I'm a Baptist one of these, I'm a Baptist pastor, maybe I'd rather be a Lutheran one of these. How does that happen? Is there a formal way for that to take place? It's not just a conversion from one confession to another. You're talking about a pastor perhaps becoming a pastor in the Lutheran confession too. We'll answer that question on the other side of the break. It's Friday afternoon, March the 7th. Pastor Herb Miller will be our guest on the other side. Then, listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Carpet, hardwood, tile, stone, laminate, you name it, they've got it at Vallo Floor Coverings in Edwardsville. Vallo's offers competitive pricing, a knowledgeable sales staff to help you with product selection, and name brands like Shaw, Congoleum, Mohawk, Florida Tile, and more. Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or vallofloor.com.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.